Appreciate everybody sticking around. Just a quick recap of the day. So the first pick there in the fourth round, it was kind of stayed and picked and picked wise. Defensive end from Arkansas. You know, guy we spent a lot of time with, brought him in for a visit, worked him out, you know, did some different things with him. So, you know, has some experience, you know, played in a good program. Coach Bielema does an outstanding job. You know, a lot of respect for his program and the players that they put out. You know, Trey Flowers, you know, is a good example. So, made that pick there in the fourth round. Then part of the draft today was the flip of the fifth and sixth round picks with Kansas City for James O'Shaughnessy. You know, who's a player who, you know, we actually did a lot of work on coming out. It's kind of similar to the discussion that we had here, I want to say last week when we had the pre-draft. Just when, you know, when you go through your draft process, your evaluation process, you never really know when a player may or may not come up. So, I mean, he was a player we'd done quite a bit of work on as well, worked him out, spent some time with him. So he was available. So, you know, we thought it was an opportunity to add, you know, another player to our team. So made that kind of fifth to sixth. And then the sixth, we just bumped up a few spots, unloaded the seventh, and took, you know, Connor McDermott, a left tackle out of UCLA. You know, another good program, Coach Mora, that staff, they've done a great job out there. So a lot of experience, good size, good length. He's played against some pretty good people out there. So, you know, only four picks, only four players. We're kind of working through the undrafted process right now. Staff really did an awesome job this weekend. I mean, Monty, DeJuan, Lip, Brian Smith, Dave Ziegler. I mean, the guys really did an awesome job this weekend. So, I mean, they deserve a lot of credit. You know, you only pick four players. Doesn't seem like there's really much that goes on. But, I mean, it's a lot of work for four picks. Keeps you guys busy, but you know, look, our thing is we just try to do what we think is best for our football team, like we talked about the other day. Try to add players that we think are going to have an opportunity to be competitive in our program. We're going to add players post draft here. We're working through that process here now. Sure, there's going to be some players that come up here over the next couple weeks, couple months, and into the summer and into training camp that aren't here. We're not even talking about that are going to end up on the team, and whether or not they have an impact on our program, you know, we'll see. So that's kind of where we are for today. So we're kind of turning the page really on this. I mean, we'll flip the page here real fast tomorrow. Phase two of the offseason program, we'll get the opportunity to start working with our players a little bit more intimately, where there's a little bit more one-on-one instruction with the coaches. So we're kind of the next phase of that. And we're working on it starting, you know, our college scouts have been working on the 2018 draft for the past month. So we're moving forward. I mean, that's what we're doing. So draft's over, turn the page. Move into the off-season program, phase two, get ready for OTAs, and then we'll go through our spring scouting process, and we're already working on the 2018 draft, so that's kind of where we are, and we'll just kind of keep moving ahead. So we'll take some questions here and go from there.
It's kind of unusual that you would not use a couple of pieces, seventh-round picks or something like that, just to if past practice is kind of my guide here, but was it a case of not having enough out there that just really kind of struck you guys as being draft worthy, or was it a matter of not enough? There, you don't maybe not have that much need here for that, and can do better in free agency.
Sure, every year is different. Like, how's one year going to go relative to the next? Nobody really has any idea. So, what happened in previous years? I mean, really, it's just a product. And really, what you try to do is, you try to take the information they have at the players that you're looking at and just try to make an estimation. Okay, we can draft a player, or there's a realistic chance, you know, we could maybe sign him after the draft. So you kind of weigh the risk reward of drafting the player, or if it's the same player that you might be able to get after the draft who's going to have a similar potential role, or you kind of your vision for him on the team, then, you know, then you go ahead and don't use the pick. So, I mean, look, every year is different. We stack the players. There's certain players that, you know, are up on the board we're looking at. Like I said, we talked about this last week. There's not a lot of players up on the board that we would actually draft. I mean, we have a small number of players that we'd actually pick. I mean, there are 255 that were selected. I mean, 50 to 75. I mean, 75 is probably high, like where we ended up in the end of guys that we'd actually draft. So every year is different. So you're kind of – it's risk-reward, and you just try to make the best decision. I mean, we drafted four players. We're probably going to end up signing, I don't know, 15, 20 guys here over the next few days. So Could you have drafted some of those players? Sure. So it all you do whatever you think is best and just try to make a good decision. And we're going to lose out on some players, and we're going to get some players that we think we like or want to work with, and then that's what we try to do.
Nick, you guys decided to use several of your draft picks on young, proven players, Cook, Skillisley, Cody Ealy. Is that a reflection at all on this year's draft class that you didn't think there'd be great talent coming out? And is it also possible that it's tied to Tom Brady being 40 years old and you want to maximize the time on the left?
Yeah, to the latter part, I'd say that has zero to do with it. I would say, really, the team-building process, it's very fluid. How it's going to go, I mean, there's no template, there's no book, here's how it's going to go. Look, there's a lot of really good players that were in this draft that have been drafted that are going to help their respective teams. We understand that, and we felt the same way. There were enough players up there that we felt good about, so we take the resources that we have, and we try to make the best decision for our team. So it's about trying to put the best team together. And however we get to that end point, look, next year may be different than it was this year. I mean, this year was different than last year. So however we put the team together, I would say it's constantly evolving. It's very fluid. And there's no, like, book, you know, template you pull out and say, okay, this is what we're going to do this year. So, I mean, that's kind of how we approach it.
And then we saw in the first round of the draft also, the Bears made a huge trade to go get Trubisky, and several other teams made big trades for quarterbacks in the top 12 picks. And it got people thinking that the Patriots could get a lot for Jimmy Garoppolo in return. And there was even a report that Cleveland still reached out for you guys. What went into the decision not to potentially trade Jimmy Garoppolo and not get a draft offer?
Yeah, whatever other teams do, like, we can't control that. Like, that's their decision. Ultimately, it comes down to what do we think is best for the New England Patriots, and that's what we go with.
Nick, you cited Mora at UCLA. Wise played under a line coach at Arkansas with NFL experience. Yesterday, Bill cited Bo Pelini. Is that more important, especially given the widening disparity between the way the college game is played and the NFL? These guys have been coached by NFL people. Experience?
Sure. Look, there's a lot of good coaches in college football. You know, we're not going to be able to pick from every program, but I mean, look, there's a lot of programs we have a great amount of respect for. You know, Coach mentioned Coach Pelini yesterday, just his background. You know, it's a pretty unique background, college, head coach, pro coach. So you try to get the information, you know, you're going to talk to the people that you trust, and, you know, we have a lot of dialogue. We got a lot of great relationships with a lot of college coaching staffs out there. So what they're being coached and what they're being asked to do, honestly, is it really what we're going to ask them to do? Maybe you're kind of looking at the program. Maybe there's some certain fundamentals and techniques and how they work and just how they run practice that you might say, okay, there may be some carryover. But I would say in the end, like, once they're out of college, then whatever they did at Arkansas, whatever they did at UCLA, honestly, it doesn't matter because they're going to be here. They're going to be in the Patriot program. And the most important thing for them is to get in our program right away, kind of understand what we expect. And it's not that what they did in college was wrong or, you know, we disagree with it. It's just how we're going to coach them, how we're going to prepare them, and how they're going to be a part of our program. The biggest thing that these players have to do when they get here is get in our program. And the sooner that they do that on a multitude of levels, the better chance at least they're going to have to be competitive with the players that are in our locker room, you know, which, you know, it's a competitive situation, and that's what we want to try to create.
Nick, is part of you still surprised, though, that you walk away from this draft with only four guys?
No, whoever we end up with, we end up with. So, I mean, the draft, whoever we pick, okay, there's four players there. We acquired players as a part of trade, so they're a part of it. The undrafted players are a part of it. So, I mean, let's call it, I don't know, 25 to 30 new players that we've sort of added to the team. So however they get here, they get here. So we can't necessarily control that. You know, we just try to take our resources and try to make the best decision for our team and get the players on the team however we can get them here. That's what we try to do.
Nick, you guys made two trade-ups for left tackles. That's significant assets, I guess you could say, to move up and get them. Is that at all a reflection of concern of Nate Solder's availability this season, or is that more the long-term team-building process looking into the future when you factor in contracts and how much, you know, longer players?
Yeah, I think in those situations it's really a factor of, okay, with your 6th and 7th round pick, okay, if you move up, we moved up 3 spots and gave up a 7th round pick. So I think it's just a matter of, okay, in that situation, okay, we have a 6th and 7th round pick. We're looking up at the board and going, okay, how many of those players would we actually pick? okay, well, if we're not going to pick him or we think we can get him after the draft, well, let's just make sure we just get a player that we actually like. So I would say it's more a product of just getting the player, trying to secure his services and getting him here than anything else. I mean, we're just trying to get the players here. And then once they're here, I mean, then everything else sort of takes care of itself because, I mean, there's competition. They're going to have to compete with whoever's here. And however the competition plays itself out, like, we don't control that. It's not up to me. It's the player's performance will ultimately dictate how that all shakes itself out. So we just try to get the players here. However we do it, I mean, give a seven-round pick to go three or four spots. It's just, I mean, just to make sure we get the guy. I mean, that's all we're trying to do.
The first one, I mean, give up a four to go up, you know, 11 in the third is a little more significant than
yeah, it's really the same philosophy. So, okay, you're where we were picking, we were 124 and 131, I want to say. So, okay, how many of those guys, okay, have a grade that we would say, okay, we're going to pick them here and we're going to feel comfortable with them? Or, look, we have a player that we like. Okay, let's just make sure we get the player here. If we have to give up a little bit in order to get them, it's really just a matter of draft positioning and draft strategy. So I think the focus is on we like the player. Let's figure out a way to get him here. Let's get him here. And, you know, if we can trade up and get him, great. And then part of it is, too, based on what the team's doing behind you. So that's where kind of your pro scouting, your needs analysis comes into play. I mean, we, you know, each team is up there that's behind us. So we're looking at that going, okay, well, what are their needs? Okay, maybe they're looking at the same player. All right, well, why risk it? Like, let's sit there and wait and, like, let's hope it happens. Or, you know what, looks like there might be an opportunity for us to move in if a team is willing to trade. I mean, we traded with Tennessee and Detroit. I mean, we got a great relationship with them, and they were willing to do it. So, I mean, the trades really happen like that. I mean, and there's a lot of talk. Well, you know, you talk, you know, before the draft about trading up, trading down. It's really you're looking up there going, all right, who's the player you like? Okay, where are we picking? Do we think the guy's going to make it there? Well, we're not sure. All right, let's see if somebody's interested in trading. So at that point, it's all player-driven and player-specific. So we just try to, you know, make a good decision and go ahead and get the player, try to secure services and get him here.
Bill has said in the past that there's value in guys who have rare body types. He's referenced, you know, Alan Branch in the past, a big athletic, long guy. With Wise, how much of a factor was his length, which seems pretty rare in terms of your interest in him?
Yeah, I mean, the player's body, I would say composition, his measurables, I mean, they're a part of it to a degree, and ultimately it's going to come down to player performance and then how do they utilize, if they have a strength, how do they utilize that strength? Or can we get them, you know, to a point where they can actually utilize whatever it may be, whether it's his speed, whether it's his quickness, whether it's his strength, whether it's his explosiveness, his power, regardless of the position. So I think it's a part of the composition. You're evaluating that. I mean, but how does he use whatever assets and strengths that he has? And can we get him to a point where it actually can be productive on the field? So, you know, everybody's got different shapes. Everybody's got different body types. So, you know, I wouldn't say that's really a big part of the evaluation. I mean, those guys are, you know, there's not a lot of guys with that type of length. But, like, okay, what does that transfer over onto the field? Ultimately, that's the most important thing.
The college coaches often talk about multi-sport athletes when they're recruiting kids. Can't help notice you have three basketball players and a pretty good track athlete from high school. Does that weigh in at this level at all?
Hopefully they're better at football than they are at those sports. But, you know, really it's to a point, yeah, when a guy, I mean, look, a multi-sport athlete in high school, the guy can do different things. I mean, there's certain, you know, body control, coordination. I wouldn't say it's like, okay, because a guy played basketball, oh, boy, he's going to be a good left tackle. I mean, I don't think you're saying that. But, you know, eventually they leave high school and then they got to focus on one thing. So I wouldn't say it's really a big part of it. So, but the more things they can do, because sometimes some track athletes, you know, have track speed and track strengths, but that doesn't always translate to the football field. So ultimately it's kind of taking their body, their athleticism, whatever tools they have, and then being able to apply them in a football setting, because ultimately they got to go out there and play football. I mean, they're not going to be, you know, a TD Garden playing hoops with, you know, the Celtics. So.
Pierce yesterday talked about himself as a nasty player and a couple of the scouts.
Garcia.
Who's that, Garcia? Sorry, yeah, no problem.
I've called him Antonio Pierce 17 times the last day. Sorry about that. He talked about himself as a nasty player, and other scouts have said he's a nasty player. Is that as big in the game now? Everybody's tough in the NFL, but is the nasty part of the game as big as it was, say, in 1970 or back then?
Look, it's, you know, when you're evaluating a player, you're kind of evaluating, you know, the athletic component, and there's a playing style component. You know, I mean, look, the NFL is a tough game. It's a very violent game. It's a physical game. So if you're not tough, if you're not physical, then, you know, you're probably not going to last very long. So, I mean, you like to see guys that have a good playing style, you know, that have an edge, you know, that, I mean, it's a physical game. So it's running, it's blocking, it's tackling. This isn't patty cake. So, like, you got to go out there. So it says something about their, you know, physical toughness. Now, then they have the mental toughness. So you're putting everything together. And ultimately, it's when they get on the field, like, it's being able to perform at a good level and being able to perform at a winning level to help our team. I mean, that's the most important thing in the end.
Nick, how many of the guys that you picked had you identified maybe 2-3 years ago as opposed to through this cycle?
Good question. I would say typically most of these guys, I want to say they all were seniors, right? Yeah, most of them are seniors. So we probably junior year, I mean, you're doing work. You know, if you have an idea that maybe a player could be a potential early declare, I mean, look, when you're watching a team, so as an example, like when you're watching Arkansas, okay? So if you're watching them a year or two ago, we were watching Trey Flowers, okay? So, okay, who's on the field? All right, what year is this guy? This guy's a sophomore. This guy's a junior. At some point, you're going to have to do those players anyways. So your focus isn't on maybe that player at the time, but maybe a guy jumps out of the film a little bit and you're making the notes as you go. So you're prepared. Let's say the guy, like, is a sophomore. You're watching Trey Flowers as a junior or as a senior. Okay. You know, look, Flowers is in a draft. Like, we know this guy. Like, we're going to have to go and go through the process and be ready for him. But this guy over here, that's a sophomore. Like, I don't know. Like, is he going to come out as a junior? I mean, look, he may or may not. But you're evaluating. So maybe your focus isn't as much on that particular player. You're focused on maybe the seniors. And then, so we try to stay ahead on that as much as you can. So, I mean, look, when a guy's a freshman, when he walks on campus, do you notice him? I mean, maybe. I mean, if the guy's out there, you know, with the rest of the team and he's a starter, a true freshman, you're probably going to keep an eye on that guy, because especially in a conference like the SEC, you know, it could apply to the Big Ten, it could apply. So you're always, I mean, look, their players are there. We don't just, like, skip the player and say, well, okay, he's an underclassman or he's a sophomore. Let's not worry about him. Well, at some point, we're going to have to do him. So, look, we try to stay ahead of on that process as much as we can. Like, we're not, like, evaluating the player, but, like, you take notice of that and you're prepared for it, so that in the event that guy, like, makes a decision, you're not going, oh, my gosh, let me go back. I got to start my process again. So, I mean, look, were we watching Wise? Like, when we were watching Trey Flowers? Like, I'm not saying that, but, like, if you, like, guy, if you notice a few plays here or there, you make a note. And, look, we know what years these guys are. So, I mean, when they're freshmen, you know, you start to keep a file on the guy and they go in the database. And so I'd say probably, like, in a 2-3 year window, you know, there were some redshirt sophomores in this draft this year. So who've only been on campus for 3 years, maybe have only played 1 year of actually football. You know, they redshirt, okay, then they don't really play, they're a backup, and then they start like their redshirt sophomore year. So, okay, like, are you ready for that guy? Well, you might have to be. And if the guy's starting, like, you must be a pretty good player. So, you know, there's really no, like, specific timetable. Okay, we're going to start watching them here. I mean, look, we're watching the players, and as whenever they declare, and then we'll dig in a little bit more and drill down, maybe do a little bit more work, and then kind of pick it up from there.
You have agreement with Longy by any chance, the linebacker from BYU?
We're working through the process. I mean, there's a lot of – I mean, we're still in the draft room, so trying to finish that up. So, I mean, when those are final, we'll put an announcement out on those. So,
I think all 20 spots will go to rookies? Or?
We'll see. I mean, I think there'll be – you know, some rookies, you know, I'm sure we'll have some things here in the rookie mini camp where we bring guys in that we don't have a contract commitment to. So, you know, we'll I'm sure there's some other players that are here, will be here, that aren't under contract that we'll evaluate. And then we'll go through like we do always in the spring. And, you know, I'm sure we'll bring some players in to work out. I mean, we're always trying to just put together the most competitive roster we can. And wherever the players come from, I mean, they come from.
Nick, all four of you guys mentioned the Senior Bowl or the East-West game is important to their development. How much of those performances go into your evaluation?
They're definitely a part of it. So you have this big body of work. So, you know, if a player plays in a big conference, he's got 2 or 3 years of production against, you know, pretty good players. And the Senior Bowl is usually the top players in the country. So you get a chance to see kind of good on good. East-West, kind of the same idea. So where it probably helps a little bit is players on a lower level that maybe haven't competed against the same level of competition. So obviously they're making a big jump. You know, like you had the tackle from Bucknell this year was at the Senior Bowl. So, I mean, Garcia was down there. So that's going to be a big jump in competition because this is what they're going to be playing against. I mean, with all due respect to, you know, to wherever Youngstown, whatever conference Youngstown State is in, like, there's not a lot of NFL players in that conference. I mean, that's just the way that it is. So you're going to have to see him against NFL competition, which the Senior Bowl is usually a pretty good indication of that because you're talking about the top seniors in the country. So it's a part of the process. You're not making a decision based off of that, but maybe a player who doesn't have as much experience against that level, you're going to see how he fares, and then you just kind of continue to move forward. So I'll take one more.
James O'Shaughnessy, how much work did you put in on him when he was coming out of Illinois State?
Yeah, we went down there. We worked him out before the draft, so we had some contact with him. So, I mean, he was a player that, you know, we liked that year, and, you know, the Chiefs ended up picking him. So, you know, look, he's had some experience offensively. He's had a decent role in the kicking game for them down there in Kansas City. So, and he's a young player. So, I mean, we'll put him in a mix. And, I mean, obviously he knows nothing about our system. He hasn't been in our system. So we're kind of starting from scratch with him. So, you know, we'll put him in a mix with everybody else and see how he does. All right. All right, have a good evening. Thank you.